And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. All right, Dave, the results are in. The parties are organizing themselves in the legislative halls. We now know who is going to run the Republican Party new leadership team in Pennsylvania and nationally. We know something about the Democrats as well. Very, very instructive, I think. Let's take a look at Pennsylvania. The leadership Republican team in Pennsylvania, where they control the Senate. They don't control the House. They lost it, but they still have a leadership team.
Yeah.
What do you make of who they decided to help run, or not to help, but to run the party's efforts in Harrisburg?
Well, it's somewhat it's different among the or between the parties, but still, on the Republicans, you continue to see this grouping of people from down in, I guess, Pennsylvania Dutch country, the York Lancaster area. And don't forget, the last two gubernatorial nominees of the Republican Party have come from down there, and they've faltered badly.
Now, you say down there because you're in the northeast part of the state.
Right.
But it's really basically the centers and the center-south, right?
Yeah. It's the base of the T that people talk about. James Carville's the Alabama part of Pennsylvania.
Right. Very rural. For the most part, very rural.
Very rural. I mean, there are a couple of cities in there, Lancaster and York, but still, they're mostly farming communities and deeply conservative type of areas.
I thought it was quite remarkable that the person in charge of the Urban Affairs Committee for the Republicans is from a county that has no city.
Yeah. Where is that out in Indiana County?
Indiana County, right.
Yeah. Their district actually, you know, is one of these that encompasses several counties because they're so small. And a portion wound up, I think you told me, up in Washington County.
Right.
And that's the other thing. You know, Philadelphia is heavily Democratic, and what they used to call the collar counties around Philadelphia, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery, used to be the suburban country club Republican counties. And they've trended and turned, for the most part, Democratic in the last number of election cycles. The opposite thing is happening out west. You have the urban county of Pittsburgh, which still remains heavily Democratic. But their collar counties out there that used to be also Democratic, Washington, Westmoreland, Beaver County, Greene County, are now red counties. They continue to trend that way out there. Although John Fetterman did well, particularly in Allegheny County.
But that's his area. That's where he's from.
That is the area he's from, and they know him out there. So, but
also that is a part of the consequence of the demise of the Steelworkers Union, because the Steelworkers Union dominated that area for several generations. Now they barely exist.
Well, it's the demise of the steel industry.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
The things have shifted out there. Pittsburgh has reinvented itself into a healthcare area. And
the big union out there now is the healthcare workers, the nurses were union.
Healthcare. Yeah. And in Pennsylvania, it's also the same thing. You've got the public employee unions, the teachers unions and whatever, although the Pennsylvania State Education Association, PSEA, as opposed to the AFL teachers union, tends to be more conservative. I remember a number of years ago, a lot of the members, I think over 40% of the membership, voted for Tom Corbett for governor. And then they were a little befuddled when they didn't get what things that they wanted, you know, and it's sort of like, duh, what do you expect? But I don't think they're voting against things. They're the same thing that we've seen across the nation with the Trump voters. They're venting frustrations, but they're voting against their own interests. So we see that. One thing that we did note is up in our area, northeastern Pennsylvania, is almost totally devoid of any leadership positions. The last one that we had in leadership in the Democratic Party was Mike Carroll, who didn't run this year. Mike was a pretty savvy guy, but he has had some personal family issues and things like that. He didn't run, and he was replaced, fortunately, by Jim Haddock, who had a tough race against James May. But, you know, in the Republican caucus, the only, in either the state Senate or the state House, the only leadership position is Lisa Baker, whose background is, she used to be with Blue Cross of northeastern Pennsylvania.
What is the class interest of the Pennsylvania GOP leaders? I mean, who do they represent? They don't. We know they don't represent workers. They don't represent people who live by paychecks. No. That's not who they represent. They don't claim to represent them, although they get their votes, a lot of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the background, you see the Club for Growth. You see that's where money comes from. That's the Toomey people. Mm-hmm. Although he's not as radical as these folks. He's able to win statewide office, albeit a couple times barely, but he still was able to.
Did the Club for Growth support Mastriani in Pennsylvania?
I think they did. Yeah. But it was kind of lukewarm. You know, he's mm-hmm. not their kind of a guy either. They're
really also corporate types. They're not Christian nationalists.
No. And then you had the folks who wanted to do with public education. Mm-hmm. The Jeffrey Yazzes.
Well, that's the big money of the Pennsylvania Republican Party, right?
Right.
So we can see that this caucus is going to, the GOP caucus, will do its best to defund public education.
Right. And ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, has been active in Pennsylvania for a number of years behind the scenes. You know,
well, they've always had a couple of the senatorial, the people in the Senate on their payroll.
Right. And that's, again, it's more of a businessman, Chamber of Commerce type of agenda.
Well, it's the Koch brothers. It's libertarian.
Yeah.
It's also deeply anti-public education.
Sure.
So,
well, that's libertarianism.
Yep.
That's libertarianism. So, but some of the people I talked about in Harrisburg still say that it's going to take a long time to actually crunch the number. First of all, the numbers aren't final yet. Mm-hmm. There's still some stuff, and we ought to talk about that, particularly in Luzerne County. But to do the analysis, I mean, Philadelphia vote, they got over 500,000 voters out there, but it's still not the numbers that they'd like to see. Whether that's a consequence of the of Johnny Dock, the union rep who's been convicted, whether his machine is not able to follow, his personal demise, they're gonna have to play with this. That now they tell me that the Democrats were better organized this year. They spent more money outside of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh this year. And they pick their races much, much more smartly. I know a number of years ago, there's been these subgroups that have formed that have said, we're not turning our money over to the party. We're going to back individual candidates where we think we have the best chances of winning. And it's been a fairly successful process. It's not perfect, but it's been a successful process, because for years we had our Democratic leaders who made sure that they got a big vote and their friends got a big vote, but didn't care about the rest of the party, whether they were in the majority or not, as long as they were there and had power within their party rather than rather than the party having power in the state and legislature. So that's something that's still going to have to play out. But we had all, I said that the election isn't over. Mastriano conceded, but his followers have not. And they've
Well,
been
he may not have either. He just said he conceded, but he's surely involved with what his followers are doing.
Yeah, and they're testing out. I think they're testing out what Bannon wants them to test out for 2024, challenges to the election counts and to the way voters votes were counted. But they didn't get too far. They filed, I don't know how many, a couple dozen petitions across the state to recount votes by hand, basically, alleging fraud or possibilities. They didn't get too far. One of the judges pointed out to them that they didn't follow, that they just can't allege it, that they have to show specifics, and that they didn't put up the proper amount of money. What is it, Jake, that they have to
Well, do? They got two. The law in Pennsylvania is real simple. Either you present specific proof that fraud took place, or if you don't have evidence of specific proof that you present in court, you have to put up $50 for every precinct in the state. That's thousands of precincts. Not every county, every precinct.
Right.
Well, my particular county, which is one of the smallest in the state, has nearly 100 precincts. So, you know, that's a lot of money. So they didn't do that.
They didn't do that. Now, Jim Bognet filed a lawsuit. Let's face it, Luzerne County's voting was a disaster this time around. They ran out of paper in districts. They turned out they had the wrong weight of paper. They're still counting provisional ballots and military ballots and what have you. Bognet lost the election by about 7,000 votes, give or take.
Mm-hmm. Is that a big margin?
It's not a huge margin, but don't forget this was a Trump plus two or three district.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Matt Cartwright is winning in that district, it would be hard for another Democrat besides Matt Cartwright to win in that district.
Mm-hmm.
But he continues to beat the odds. And last time he won by 12,500 votes, but it was a presidential year.
Mm-hmm.
So he had that going for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Bognet's claim is that you can't certify unless you've really figured out the count.
Mm-hmm.
And he does have a point, but that's not what he's really doing here. What he's doing is undermining people's idea of confidence in elections and giving succor to the idea that elections are rigged,
mm-hmm.
the MAGA mm-hmm. people's ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. It's not going to be successful, but it does expose things. And, we didn't have those problems in Lackawanna or whatever. And I would suspect that Josh Shapiro is going to ask the legislature to do some things that the legislature hasn't wanted to do. For instance, allow the counting of votes early from on the mailings. Now, the Republicans across the country are trying to do away with mail-in votes. Only some of them are. The smarter Republicans are saying, no, let's get our people to do mail-in votes.
Mm-hmm.
And in many places, they've done that. Utah is almost all mail, if not all mail-in votes. It's Republican. Florida used to have, and they still have, a lot of Republicans doing mail-in votes. And you never know on election. That's the way you lock in your votes.
Mm-hmm.
On election day in Pennsylvania, you could have a bad snowstorm, mm-hmm. and those rural votes aren't going to come in.
Right. Right.
Right. So, and that can go for, just about anywhere in the country. Florida could have a Hurricane Ian, hit them. And, and those things. So, the count goes on, so to speak, but it doesn't change anything. But we should note, we keep talking about Luzerne County. And I've been talking about this for a long time. And it wasn't too long ago that Democratic registration was way up in Luzerne County, that a Democrat in a bad election statewide would come out with 20,000 more votes than the Republican, On a good day, it would be north of 25,000. I've seen it 26,000 or thereabouts. You looked up what happened in Luzerne County this time on the, you know, the big three races. And, you know, Josh Shapiro actually carried the county, but barely, a little over 1,000 votes. That's a far cry from 20 to 25,000.
That's right. That's right.
John Fetterman, who you think would appeal to a lot of these Trump Republicans, the working class white male guys, Fetterman got beat by a good amount down there.
Yes, he lost. Oz got 59,500 votes and Fetterman got 49,700 votes. In other words, Oz got 53% of the vote. Fetterman got 44% of the vote.
Yeah, it was a 10,000. I like to deal more in numbers there. It's a 10,000 vote difference. Again, the difference between winning a county by 20 and losing it by 10 is 30,000 votes.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Now, in the gubernatorial race, it didn't matter. Shapiro won by over 700,000 votes. But still, you'd want to win there. Because you want to bring up, you want to win your state house races. Don't forget, with the state legislature so close, there were a couple of races that could have been won by Democrats that they lost, not by much. Jerry Mullery's district, which it has been, you know, it's got more Republicans in it now, but he was a Democrat and he was a good representative. The guy who tried to replace him lost. So, you know, the one seat here, one seat there matters in these things. Matt Cartwright, as well known as he is, he lost Luzerne County. I think somewhere around 1,500, 2,000 votes, you know, because he gets beat up in
Cartwright got 45,776 votes in Luzerne County, and Bognett got 48,237 votes. In other words, Bognett got 51.3%. Cartwright got 48.7% in Luzerne County.
Yeah. Now it's interesting. Bognett got fewer votes than Oz by a lot.
By a lot.
11,000 fewer people voted for Bognett than voted for Oz.
In that one county. We're just talking about that one county, yeah.
And he did get fewer votes than Mastriano then, didn't he?
Well, he got 48,000 votes, and Mastriani got, I will tell you right now,
54.
He got 54,000.
Yeah. So he ran 6,000 votes behind the gubernatorial candidate.
Right.
That's, right. You know, you can't win doing those things, but wow. Interesting.
And that's hardly down ballot. I mean, that's the next line.
I know. So that's a big drop off.
That's interesting.
A big drop off, particularly since there were, you know, contested House and Senate races there. You don't always have contested state Senate races in Luzerne County. This was the year. The next year, they won't have those. So we'll just have to see. The idea is don't run the last election. You got to run for the next election, but you have to take lessons from that. Take lessons from that.
But by the way, you made the point that the Mastriano campaign organization conceded. He conceded. But these lawsuits that the Mastriano supporters are pursuing, that's growing. That wasn't the flesh in the pan for 2 days.
No.
That's more and more of these lawsuits over the last week. So, and in some of the cases, the Republican Party, the county organization itself is involved. So this is very interesting.
That's their plan. Their plan is to undermine people's confidence in elections. That was the whole, that's the Trump idea. Everything is rigged unless we win.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Luzerne County is a microcosm. I mean, the big place you're seeing that is the state of Arizona. Mm-hmm. You know, Kerry Lake is never going to concede. And
well, some of these lawsuits are almost comical. I mean, in the case of one lawsuit in Pennsylvania, the lawsuit was presented by a fellow who was an election official who had just certified that the vote was honest and true. And then he went into court and sued because he said it had to be investigated. He's investigating himself. But that's not common, right?
No, but no one ever said they have to have logic. All they want is headlines.
Right.
All they want is headlines.
No, but I mean, it shows the hypocritical nature of the whole effort.
Sure.
It buttresses the point you're just making.
Yeah. But they still have to. But it's an ongoing process.
Carrie Lake is suing the entire Republican Party of Arizona. She says that the Republican officials who ran the election were corrupt. That's a little bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But remember what we talked about in communications. One of the secrets of communications is repetition, repetition, repetition. And when you repeat the big lie long enough and hard enough, people start to believe it. It must be true. Why would they keep saying it?
Right. Yes. That's right. That's exactly right. And it works.
It works, yeah. And that's why they're doing it. You know, you have Bannonism, Steve Bannon trying to tear down everything, and we'll see where Trump gets.
Thing we see is that if you recall, not too many years ago, people were horrified, shocked, appalled, or charmed by Sarah Palin.
Yes,
Sarah Palin, who could see Russia from her window. That was her foreign policy expertise, who was regarded as by the Democrats as the threat to American democracy. Her threat is, you know, kind of childish, is quaint compared to guys like Mastriano or Bannon.
Right.
You almost wish for people like Palin. Not really, but, you know.
Well,
but I mean,
she lost.
She lost. She lost by big. She lost big, too.
She lost big. Yeah, part of that was that the Republicans, there were three people in the race, one of whom was a Republican whose father had been in Alaskan politics and who really couldn't stand Sarah Palin. And they have that ranked choice voting type of system where you have to get 50% of the vote. And he...
I think she got 24% and he got 22%.
Yeah. And then when they did the ranked choice, the Democrat up there, who's the first Native American woman to serve, she had 48% to start with. So she rolled into it. And then the other one.
Yeah, by the way, that undercuts Sarah Palin's whole argument because she couldn't claim that if not for ranked choice voting, she would have been elected. She wouldn't have been elected. She would have without ranked choice voting. There wouldn't have been any runoff.
Right.
She'd have been defeated from the get-go because she was 20 points behind, more than 20 points behind.
Right. And then Lisa Murkowski pulled out another victory. She was a target of Donald Trump.
And she also would have been elected even without ranked choice voting.
Hers was much closer.
Yep. But hers still, her opponent was saying that if not for ranked choice voting, I would have been elected. But she lost that argument, too.
You know, it's going to be interesting what she does in the Senate. Does she stay as a Republican? Does she declare she's an independent? Don't forget, she ran on a write-in vote because she lost a Republican primary the last time.
Right.
That she ran. Is she going to move a little bit more towards the center? I don't know. You know, in some ways, she seems to be a little bit more reliable than Susan Collins in that regard.
Well, do you really want to have a Democratic Party caucus that consists of Manchin, Sinema, and Lisa Murkowski? I don't know.
Well, as long as it makes the majority,
it doesn't make the majority on policy. It only makes the majority on the organization of the Senate.
But it prevents bad things from happening.
Maybe
that's.
But it doesn't allow good things to happen.
No, but it prevents bad things, and if that's the best you can do, that you got to live with that. So we'll have to see. And we have to see with the House. You know, the Republicans ran on inflation and crime and the border. Crime didn't seem to be that much of an issue. I think people realized that that wasn't, you see these terrible things on Fox News all day long that's happening in certain places, but people know what's happening in their area, and they're not seeing that. But the inflation
issue, Republicans have a problem with crime. First of all, it's a proxy for race. Everybody knows that. You talk about crime, what the Republican candidates are really saying is the black working class is moving into your area, you won't be, your property values will diminish. They don't say it that way. They say crime.
It's been that way since Nixon.
It's been that way since Nixon. What you really have is the Dixiecrats, the old Dixiecrats from the Democratic Party, have moved into the Republican Party. The Dixiecrats are running the Republican Congress. That's the fact. If you look to see who the new leaders of the various committees are in the new Republican-led Congress, they're all Republicans from places like Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, Jim Jordan, which is the Ku Klux Klan area of Indiana, Kathy McMurphy.
Jordan's Ohio.
I mean, of Ohio, right? This is Klan territory.
Yeah, and they're doing just what the people said we don't want to be done. You know, inflation's a problem, so you're going to investigate Hunter Biden.
Right.
The border's a problem. We're going to investigate, you know, the Biden crime family. You know, this is...
They're investigating Biden as if he were Trump. They're charging with Biden with doing what Trump boasts about doing.
Speaking of Trump, he took some lumps this week. His Supreme Court that he thought were going to, that he had bought by nomination, ruled against him. Nobody dissented this time, and saying that the House of Representatives is allowed to, the committee is allowed to get his taxes. And then in New York, kind of under the radar, this lawsuit against the Trump Organization, the civil lawsuit, there was some pretty devastating testimony about Trump's taxes, which are being brought out. The fact that he hasn't paid taxes, that he's claimed losses for essentially the last 10 years. I guess that one year when he paid a minimal amount of tax that people think he leaked was the only tax return that shows that. And we'll see what happens in that lawsuit.
I mean, why should the leader of the government pay anything to the government to help run the government? All right.
Right. And by the way, they came out and they said that we're going to have an overseer. You're not going to be able to transfer assets.
That's really annoying to them.
Yeah. Trump Organization 2, they called it. Very original. And the judge was having none of that. Nothing like what Alex Jones was doing to try to get around the law.
Alex Jones, who transferred millions of dollars in order not to pay the penalties that he was assessed for, in, you know, defaming and making life hell for the poor families whose children were murdered.
And we're going to see whether Alex Jones is going to be back on Twitter. Elon Musk has already offered it to Trump, who is in a bind because he has his own Truth Social, so he can't do Twitter and do that. But that's a whole different can of worms with what Elon Musk is doing, ruining a car. Talk about somebody who's, you know, losing billions by the ton. You know,
talk about corporate control of the media.
Yeah,
could Musk's control of Twitter be more than that? That's it. That's the prime example of how bad it is when you have corporate control of the media. People attack the reporters, but the reporters don't decide what's going to be in the story. The editor says to the reporter, write the story with this angle. And the editor does what the publisher tells him to do. That's how it works.
Yep. Well, you're an old newspaper man.
I was told every time, do this story with this slant. I would say, I don't want to. Oh, all right, do it anyway. Anyway, that's it for this week.
That's it for this week. December's a coming.
All right. Well, we'll see you in December.
See you in December. Have a good week.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.